Blog Talk Radio.
Psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the director of inpatient services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specialized in the treatment of children, six and older, and in the treatment of adults, in other words, from the womb to the tomb. Dr. Carroll also is an all-time triathlete, so if you're having a problem breaking through to that next level in athletics, give her a call. She can help you through it. Or make an appointment at her office. She's at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Her phone number is 813-689-2466. Well, Z, I know Ty's going to be off tonight, but we're going to dedicate this program tonight. This is the 20th of June, probably the happiest day of my life 50 years ago when my son Bob was born. And, of course, Bob being the founder of the program and the network, actually, he and Aaron Jaco and Adam Jaco started this program 9 years ago last week. And we celebrated his passing yesterday. It was untimely, but we know he's always looking down on us. And we always know that we always know he's here because every now and then I'll feel something go by and I can't find something. I'll turn around and 2 minutes later it's right where it should be. And I know it's that impish smile as he's standing there with that yucky laugh of his yucking up at me. So we've had the pleasure of knowing you and your family for, I guess, God, 35 years now, huh?
Oh, absolutely. A very long time.
And so it's a, they were, I got to tell everybody, Z's family has been a major support, not only to the program, but to our family. So we really appreciate that with you and Ty. Okay, well, we got a big show tonight. We got some of Bobby's favorites. We got Eddie Chambers. Is coming on with us. Eddie's been overseas and has some news for us. And Frankie Filippone, a good friend of ours, started out. He's a police officer over in Virginia there, Virginia Beach, and he's also a title holder. He's the IBA title holder, and he's going to have a fight coming up very shortly. He's going to defend his title, and then he has some bigger news for us. Eddie Chambers has some interesting facts and figures for us, and there's a new change in Ray's situation. So he's going to address that for us. So next week's show, we're going to have our old friend Joey Tiberi on. Jerry, we want to send congratulations out to him. Joey just graduated from University of Delaware, and he's a journeyman fighter. He's looking for fights, and we're looking forward to him giving us some update on that too. So, well, what do you think? I guess let's get right to it. What do you think of tonight's fights? We got Andre Ward and Sean Porter first. Huh?
Yeah. Well, Andre Ward is stepping back into the ring after a long layoff.
Yeah, 19 months.
He's fighting a guy, I think it's Paul Smith, if I'm correct.
Yes.
All right, yes. And this is more of what Andre Ward needs. He needs to fight to where he can kind of ease into anything. Not saying Paul Smith is easy competition, but Andre Ward, he needs to, he's been out for, what, almost 2 years, around 2 years.
19 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he had that. That legal problem with Dan Guzman. Over his contract.
He's been out for that long, and he's going to need a tune-up fight. I hope he's gotten his sparring pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That comes on BET at 10 o'clock, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And also, Adrian Broner and Sean Porter fight tonight.
Right.
That's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one. We talked about that before on the show. Adrian Broner had Sean Porter sign a clause in the contract to where Sean Porter, the fight is taking place at 144 pounds.
Right.
Not the 147 welterweight limit.
Right.
Adrian Broner had Sean Porter sign in a clause in the contract saying that Sean Porter could not rehydrate past 154 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so that could have play a factor in the fight.
Sure.
Ty and I talked about it at length, and Ty thinks that that's going to make a difference. I think it may make a bit of a difference, but I think Ty, he to put his statement out there, he thinks it's going to make a difference for Broner to edge the fight out.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I think a little different. I think that Porter's work rate may be a little up. I don't think the weight will kill him that much. But
mm-hmm.
Porter's used to coming in heavy. He's used to rehydrating at maybe 163, 165, no problem. So,
yeah.
I mean, we'll see if this drains him down, if this will take muscle off for him to make that living.
Yeah, but in the last couple of fights, he's come in about 174, 175. And so this would be a huge difference for him, especially for Andre having to take that on, because he's not that big a guy.
Yeah, Adrian, and that's the thing. Adrian Broner, he knows where he could take that advantage at.
Sure.
Coming into a 147 limit and a no rehydration limit, that wouldn't be a smart thing to do against Sean Porter, a guy who's uses his power, uses his physical strength most of the times in a fight. Sean Porter is a tough guy. He could take a shot. He's relatively quick, and his feet are quick. His hands are quick. He tends to attack and leave in straight lines, but at the same time, a guy who's physically talented could get away with that most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Porter works.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can get a worker at is countering. You know, make their work count against them.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Broner can do that, but can he do it enough? And if the weight does make a difference, if Sean Porter loses actual muscle getting to that limit, then
mm-hmm.
that could drain him. And and let's say I put Ty's prediction out there, Ty could be right. That could drain him, and his work rate would not be as much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Sean Porter's a guy. I think Sean Porter's a guy who had enough time to do this. So with the right training and the right work methods, he could go ahead and, you know, keep his work rate and lose that weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we also have Haseem Nadeem. Is fighting tonight for the vacated Jermaine Taylor IBF middleweight belt.
Yeah, and then it's fighting Lemieux, if I'm correct.
Yeah. Right.
Lemieux from Canada. And that should be a good fight. Lemieux is expected to win. I probably expect Lemieux to win, but and then it gives a fighter like Lemieux all sorts of trouble to me.
Mm-hmm.
Lemieux, he wants to come at you. He wants to get you out of there. He has pretty good hand speed. He's strong. He hits pretty hard. He can work the body and the head.
Mm-hmm.
But Lemieux tends to need to get on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And with a guy like Ndam, you're not just going to do that. And
mm-hmm.
Ndam, he's rangy, and he uses that range exceptionally well. I'm not sure if Ndam's a southpaw or not. If I'm correct, I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's a southpaw, I mean, then that adds to the trouble.
Right.
And Dan uses his feet well, he uses his range well, and he can run you into things.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I just think Lemieux is just going to maybe outwork and Dan, have him running a bit.
Mm-hmm. But
just not enough offense from him, Dan.
Yeah.
It's yet to be seen.
I'm going to try and get Dr. Chris on here because we got about 2 minutes before we bring in Frankie Philippone. See if we get anyone. I tried earlier and he wasn't available.
Hi, you reached the cell phone of Chris Panarello.
All right, we'll go back over to, we'll just go right to our first guest then. Frankie, as you know, was down here a couple weeks ago and took one of our former partners apart.
Yeah.
Let's get him in here. Uh-oh. Hello? Oh, didn't go through. Let me try it again. You must be having some type of phone problem with over there. I'll try. Well, what do you think? We have a another fight coming up next week with Timothy Bradley. How do you think that's going to go?
Tim Bradley.
Yeah,
that must have slipped me. Who does Tim Bradley fight? Oh my goodness!
Yeah, he's gonna be fighting Jesse Vargas next Saturday.
That's right. I've been looking forward to these fights tonight, and there's a fight also tomorrow.
Right.
But Tim, I think that's on paper it's a mismatch. Yeah, it could be competitive. I don't think that it should be or it will be necessarily, but it could be in the aspects to where Jesse Vargas would play the boxer and Timothy Bradley would have to commit to be the slugger. And I just don't think that Tim Bradley's too good. He has too many skills. He's far too high of competition. He's not got old. I mean, to me, he's... The only people to beat Tim Bradley are the elites.
Right.
Are the elites. And, well, Pacquiao. If your name's not Pacquiao, you don't beat Tim Bradley.
Right.
I mean, he's a dog fighter. I mean, if the contact is too much for him, then he knows how to get out of there and play the angles. Win from the outside. He knows to where against a longer guy to where, you know, the outside's not beneficial to him. He'll get inside and make it dirty, make it rough.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesse Vargas, I don't see what geography he can win in. I don't think he's a better outside boxer than Tim Bradley. I'm very sure he's not a better inside fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's tougher. He might have I don't think he has a speed advantage.
I don't. I certainly don't.
I don't think he has a strength advantage.
No.
I just don't see what avenue he can go on to victory against Tim Bradley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yet, it still could be interesting because Tim Bradley's one of those fighters like Andre Ward where it doesn't matter. Sometimes it doesn't matter the level of competition they fight. It's always not a tough fight, but competitive.
Right.
To where they'll get hit. They'll be in the pocket, you know, trying to go toe-to-toe. I mean, these guys are warriors. I mean, Jesse Vargas, he's a good fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't put him in the level of a Tim Bradley. I mean, but that's why they fight. That's why they make the fight.
All right, let's try and call Frankie now. See if we can get... I think I had the wrong number the last time.
Hello?
Hey, Frankie, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
We're doing good. We're almost... you're on the air with Z and I. And
all right.
How's it going, Frankie?
I'm living a dream.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I'm actually heading up... just pulled in to... up in Baltimore for a boxing event.
Nice.
Yeah, so...
Great.
So we just going out and supporting the you know the other teammates. So
right,
you know, so
absolutely,
that's excellent. Now, when we talked earlier in the week, you had mentioned that you have a fight coming up. So we'd like to get to know about that.
Oh yeah, we're looking forward to it. You know, we're trying to since the last fight with Jaco. You know, we've been looking to defend our title, and. You know, so we can become a mandatory challenger for the WBF World title in the super middleweight division.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now we finally got that done with, you know, the help of you know, James Hogan with Ponytail Promotions, and they're going to come down to my hometown in Norfolk, Virginia, and do a show August 8th. So,
excellent.
About time. About time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
And it's kind of, and it's a cool story. That's the venue where we're at. It's a where I had my very first professional fight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now to come back full circle, you know, to fight for and defend the title after having my first professional bout there. It's pretty cool.
Well, you know, that's also going to be excellent for the kids that you work with on the street.
Oh, yeah.
Every day to be able to see you in action and be able to get in there and see a hero, their hometown hero, take on somebody and win a big fight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, typically speaking, we get, you know, some good sponsors that help out, and they buy a set of tickets, and I just, you know, I give them out to the kids. And we have one football team in an area that I work that we particularly help out, and we've given them, you know, I don't know, 20 or 40 tickets over the last couple fights I've had at home.
Good.
So,
good.
Yeah, it's been good. How's everybody? Yeah. How are you guys doing?
We're doing excellent. We're doing excellent.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
The man on the other end of the line here just became the father of a high school graduate, so he's got
nice.
That to go through.
Yeah.
So we're real proud of that. And Ty and his wife just opened a new gym, so we're real proud of that.
Wow,
and,
cool.
Yeah, so it's been a good year for everybody, and our ratings have gone up, especially being able to talk to guys like you and all the other fellows that we've had a chance to talk to this year. Our ratings went up. We're now averaging 196 a week. We've gone as high as 215. And so
wow.
I am absolutely thrilled with that. This is a real
wow.
tribute to my son Bob. But
yeah, absolutely. Well, it's you know, when you have classy guys, you know, running the show, you know, then you know it's you guys make the show. We're just glad to be on it.
Sure. Hey, you know, I was looking back at your record, and you've had some pretty tough guys that you've gone against. I know Aaron didn't present a whole lot to you because he hadn't been trained against a southpaw. But
right.
I mean, you had Sean Miller, you had Aaron Pryor Jr. Of all those guys, who do you think was your toughest fight?
I think Sean Miller would probably rank up there just because of the size difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, skill wise, and fundamentals, I have them leaps and bounds over most of those guys I've fought. But just the pure size of him, and you know, going up in a weight class to fight, it was a pretty tough feat.
Sure.
Especially in his hometown too. You know, Jago was going to be a tough. Jago was going to be a tough feat as well, being his hometown, the local hero, a very classy guy as well, and a tough fighter, and always comes in shape.
Mm-hmm.
Just obviously the cards were in my favor on this last fight. So.
And who are you going to have your title defense against?
We don't know yet. It's kind of hard having somebody. Nobody really wants to come in the hometown to get beat. you know, I can't blame him except for, you know, I don't care. I take whatever fight comes my way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I you know, that's, you know, like I said, I went to Aaron Pryor's hometown. I think that was the most hostile crowd ever, though.
Yeah,
you know, going to Cincinnati. I mean,
yes.
You know, I think I received like 10 death threats on the way to the ring. So, you know, it is what it is, you know. So, it's a good, like I said, Sean Miller, and you know, he's looking at something big, and you know, he fought overseas for the world title as well in the light heavyweight division. So, you know, he and I talk probably once a week, and when he was preparing for that fight, I helped look at some tape and footage of the guy, and you know, we kind of talk back and forth and bounce some ideas off of people and each other, and so you know, it's good that you keep making friends as well along the way, and you know, and opening up other opportunities for each of us. So
good, yeah.
But,
now, in trying to prepare for a fight like this, do you change your pace of any, or how do you have a camp?
You know, I think the hardest part about fighting at home is there's a lot more distractions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody wants tickets, and you know, you got a lot of people. You know, like for this fight, I mean, I haven't fought at home since, I want to say, 2011, maybe 2012, the end of 2012.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, people are ready for us to come home. And, you know, so I've already got sponsorship people that already have, you know, purchased tables from me. And everybody's asking me, man, when are these tickets coming in so we can buy these seats? And, you know, so I think keeping the distractions down to a minimum is, you know, is where I think it's going to change the most. You know, I train the same way every time. You know, I'm intense. You know, I take pride in keeping myself in shape, obviously, with law enforcement. And so, you know, I wear, you know, other things like heart rate monitors and things like that to ensure that I'm
right.
working hard. So,
right.
you know, and I was on vacation in Myrtle Beach this past week, and I still was out there pounding the pavement, running. And and when I got, you know, of course, I didn't follow the meal plan quite like I wanted to, but you know, when other people are cooking food for you, man, I really can't
yeah.
help. You know, and they're stopping to get ice cream, and you know, so you know, I gained a little bit of weight on that, but I got back Monday, and Tuesday morning I was back in the gym. So
now Frankie, I remember you saying something early on the show before about. What was it? Maybe not sparring, training. About training, how you didn't really have a set gym you went to.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
I know you're coming back home. You're probably a little more settled as far as that goes. You still going on the road to get sparring too?
Yeah, I try. You know, I've gone up to, you know, I come up to Maryland, you know, and train with some of the guys up here. And even at the even when I'm at home, I just, there's about three gyms that I actually bounce around to, like I said. And the reason why I do that is just to spar with different guys. You know, we got a couple left-handers that I spar with just to make sure that, you know, when I actually get a matchup against another left-hander, I'll know what to do. You know, so, you know, we've had some really good sparring this, you know, before, you know, the 2 weeks before my vacation. And it's been good. I mean, you know, when you have – some of the level of training, when you get like a, you know, six rounds of hard sparring, you know, that's better than doing 10 rounds of mediocre. So,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, we're still going to move around a little bit, but we might make a home base at one place and just bring people in. And, but you know, I like to mix it up. I'm unorthodox. And, I think people know that from my fighting style. So, you know, it just keeps everybody guessing. So,
well, what style would you say would present you with the most trouble?
I would say the guy that just the journeyman, the slugger type, you know, the guy that just doesn't care. You know, he'll take 10 to get one. You know,
yeah.
Those guys are just constantly in your face, kind of walking you down all the time. You know,
no respect.
People don't realize that. That's just. When you're always backing up or using lateral movements, man, you start to tire out, you know, more quicker than you would normally if you were moving forward. So, you know, so those guys, you know, and it just kind of mentally wears on you too, you know, because you're hitting this guy with everything you got, and he's just like eating them and just going, okay, you know, you got something else. You know, so, and you know he's hurting, you know they're being effective, but they're just not as effective as you like. So sometimes you got to change the game plan up, you know, and kind of go from there.
Yeah, so. And these guys, and those guys, they also they're not they'll drain on you just as you said mentally
right.
The fact that, I mean, they might not be technical and they're open,
right.
And that kills you because you're hitting their openings and that's not making a difference.
Right. Yeah.
So now it's not only, you know, they could take the shot, it's that I can get the shot there and it's not making a difference.
Yeah, and when you got a guy that's really, he's really in shape, and he knows he can go, you know, 10 rounds of strong, you know, strong work,
yeah.
You know, and he's not really, he's just waiting for that, you know, taking a punch to the head, maybe to the body, you know, obviously over a couple several rounds that starts to affect the fighter. But if you're not throwing anything, or you're really being calculating on what you're throwing, as far as the puncher, the slugger, then he's not expending too much energy, because you know he's just blocking your shots, and he's got a good defense. You know, you're not really being effective anyway.
Yeah, and so, retreating,
right.
You're not setting down on your punches really.
Right, absolutely. You're always on the move. You know, and you know, I mean, now you can generate some power. You know, if you get that little, just a little rock back just a little bit, and then come forward while he's coming forward as well. Then, you know,
yeah.
But. At some point, you got to just say, okay, well, my game plan is to go in there and box him for the first three, four rounds. And then if that don't work, then we got to go to the phone booth and
yeah.
Let the better man win.
Keep it tight.
So, yeah, right, exactly. So, but, yeah, like I said, we've been training. We had some sparring that we set up. We just set up in some inside stuff, you know, just hitting in, you know, working inside angles and working on clinching and stuff like that, stuff that I don't normally do. And then, you know, some of the stuff, even with the Jaco fight, you know, he was able to catch me with a couple shots, nothing that's really damaging, but stuff that, you know, on a big puncher might have caught me on and put me to sleep. So we want to focus on the defense as well as the offense.
Now, what would you say was your biggest asset during the Jaco fight?
You know, as far as leading up to it or in the actual fight?
If leading up to it helped in the actual fight, then both.
Well, yeah, I think being a left-hander definitely proved to be in my favor. But, you know, my coach, man, he pretty much, after the third round, he told me, he said, stop playing with the guy. Let's go home. Let's get this title. So, you know, you're having a good team in there that helps motivate you and push you into the right direction. Because, you know, Jaco took some really hard shots in the second round after I knocked him down. And I started to finish him a little bit. And then he wasn't going anywhere at first. And I'm thinking, man, this is getting – I said, well, maybe, you know, he's in shape. You know, you could tell that.
Yeah.
And he,
yeah.
You know, He's what I effectively call cut up from the butt up, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had no ounce of fat on him, and I prepared for him to go 10 rounds with him, and it just, you know, some people, you know, he was clearly hurt in the fight, and it's unfortunate, you know, because he caught me with a really good shot on the rope right there, right before I hit him and knocked him down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you could tell by my reaction if you watch the fight on YouTube. I was just overjoyed. I couldn't hardly contain myself, you know, because it's a tough mental battle just coming into somebody's hometown. You already feel like you're three rounds down.
Great.
So.
You had talked about the possibility of going overseas to fight. Is there anything firm on that yet?
Well, you know, I talked to some guys with the WBF, and just kind of like Sean Miller, you know, when he fought, he defended his title against me. And then his next fight was against Tony Avalanche in France.
Mm-hmm.
So so the guy that holds the world title right now is Bernard Donflack. He's from Germany. So that's our goal right now is to try to defend and then put ourselves in a good possible position to put us as a mandatory challenger for that title.
Mm-hmm.
So. And, you know, so it's hopefully we can get that done. Probably I don't foresee it being done by the end of this year, but hopefully by the beginning of next year.
Mm-hmm.
I had an offer to fight Marco Antonio Rubio in Texas. But they're not paying the kind of money that it's worth, so I had to decline. But it was a very good fight for me. It just was a little too close And if I told you the price, you'd probably laugh. And I'm gonna tell you anyway. They offered $6,000 for that type of fight.
Oh.
And I said,
that didn't even cover the cost of camp.
Yeah. I told him, I said $6,000. I said, you talking about the guy that might be running for president, that Rubio? I'll fight him. Yeah, for $6,000.
You know? I'm not fighting a guy that's got over 65 fights, and then he's also, you know, been a three-time, four-time world champion. Just lost the triple, you know, he lost the Triple G, his last fight out.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
And he's big.
Yeah, big. I just, you know, so it's kind of funny, you know, it never ceases to amaze me, you know, that how much disrespect boxers get, you know, and when, especially when you're self-managed, because they think they can kind of just push you around, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
And they feel like ultimately they think we were just, you know, going to do what they ask. And, you know, there's probably some guys out there that would take that fight for $6,000.
Sure.
You know?
First-class plane ticket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, that's big. That's good money for some people, you know? And,
sure.
And you know, to fly out to Texas, you know, be on Fox Sports, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I tell people, I said, you know, my safety is paramount. I always like to train to make sure that I'm in the best possible shape. And even though I'm in shape and still close to that weight that they wanted to fight at, it was at 168. But, you know, it doesn't make sense. It's got to make sense for us to really do something, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking with the other belt organizations and stuff like that, they said, hey, you know, you could possibly lose your chance to go to Germany. I said, well, hey, not for $6,000. Now,
no.
I countered with $50,000, and they laughed. So,
yeah.
But, hey, you know, I had to try. You know,
that's right.
You know, they said $50,000. I might have jumped on it. But, you know. They also, I also almost had a fight on the Mayweather-Pacquiao undercard.
Nice.
And they didn't want to take the fight because I was left-handed.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I felt like it was a scene from Rocky, you know. So, you know, southpaws, like I said, there is a little bit of truth to fighting a southpaw, but, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, whether you're standing left with your left foot in front or your right foot in front, you know, you just punch it in the face. That's how I work.
Yeah.
When in doubt, punch it out.
That's right.
And you're a tricky southpaw. So it's not like, you know, they're going to come in and roll you over. You play the angles. You know how to bring
right.
the fight, and you know how to fight,
right.
you know, going backward and sideways. So they're
right.
not just going to go ahead and fight you and not
right.
look good. I mean,
right. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I told them when they said, oh, man, we didn't. They offered me the fight. I took it. I accepted the terms. And then they came back and said, hey, oh, man, we didn't realize you were left-handed like that. We didn't know that was your dominant hand. I said, well, look, do this. I said, take $5,000 off the person. I'll fight him right-handed. And they sure didn't take it. So they, you know, either somebody messed up or they didn't communicate properly because, you know, I was ready to go. I said, put it in the contract. I'll fight him right-handed. So. They still didn't accept it, so you know. But I'm sure that fight, because I've been pretty vocal about it on social media, so I'm sure at some point they'll make that fight happen. But you know, after they finish being scared, I'll let them, you know. So we'll see. So anyway, but yeah, we're like I said, we're preparing, we're ready to go. You know, if I had to fight today, I'd fight today. If they call me for this Baltimore boxing fight, I would be like, hey. I'll step in right now. So.
All right. So you're in shape like that then.
I'm in shape right now. I'm about 4 pounds heavier than the 168-pound weight limit.
That's not bad.
So yeah. So I, you know, now before the vacation I was at 169. So so you know, but like I said, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, man. You know, I can't care. You know, people are eating it, and I gotta take a taste. So, but yeah, we'll keep you guys posted on that stuff. We'd like to get it streamed again so people can see it, you know. So I might talk to some other streaming agents to see if they'll come in. So people that don't live here, you know, I have family in Philadelphia and, you know, South Philadelphia, and I got people in Jersey and stuff like that that want to see me fight, and they haven't really been able to come to a local fight. So hopefully we can get that done and people can, you know, pay for it online.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So.
Great. Well, we wish you a lot of luck in your upcoming fight, and I certainly hope that you can get over to Germany, because that would be a nice payday for you and your family. And
absolutely,
that to come home with a international title would be tremendous.
Yeah, that's the goal. Take that, bring that world title back
to the States and then make this guy come back and fight me here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I was just asking Z earlier his thoughts on next week's fight with Timothy Bradley and Jesse Vargas. Before we let you go, let me hear what your thoughts are.
I think Timothy Bradley still got a lot left in the tank. I'm going to go with him all the way. I think it's going to go the distance. You know, I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, like I said, I'm a big Tim Bradley fan. You know, mm-hmm. I think he lives right. He eats right. He trains hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he's going to do it now, stepping up, going, you know, like I saw something on there about Triple G and Timothy Bradley. That's a fight nobody wants, because, you know, nobody wants to fight Triple G right now either. So, but yeah, I think Timothy Bradley's going to win that. I'm looking forward to the Adrian Broner and Sean Porter fight tonight as well. So,
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. I'm taking Sean Porter. I'm just, you know, I like the humbleness of Sean Porter, and I think the fight style. I think Broner's going to have a lot better. It's going to be hard for Sean to hit him, but I think over time he'll break him down.
Mm-hmm. How about the Andre Ward and Paul Smith fight tonight?
Say again.
Andre Ward and Paul Smith.
You know, I don't know. That's a tough one to call. I think Andre Ward, you know, he might have a little bit of problems. I think he's starting to get to a point where he thinks that he's untouchable. I think that's a dangerous game to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always somebody bigger and badder. And what I always tell people and the kids that I train is you have to train for the guys below you, not
right.
the guys above you. You train for the guys
right.
below you because they're always hungry.
Right.
You know, they want what you have. So I think Andre Ward thinks that he's untouchable right now. And, you know, I'd like to see him take a big step up as well and fight, you know, some of the other guys.
Sure.
So,
do you think that the possibility of him being off the 19 months, you think that's going to hurt him or help him?
Yeah, you always lose a little bit. You know, I wouldn't say it's going to be a huge factor, but, you know, you always lose a little bit and you have to gain it back, especially in a real fight. Sparring is sparring, you know. When you get to a real fight, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
The ring rust shows up a little bit more and things of that nature. So,
mm-hmm. Great. Well, we don't want to keep you from your friends and seeing the fight in there. And hopefully they'll introduce you as the title holder. And we really appreciate, again, your coming on and giving us your time. And it's always good to talk to a brother in blue.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And like I said, you know, you guys are family to me now. So, you know, I hope, you know, when I get down to Florida, I'll get to make good on my promise to come eat dinner with you. So
it's open anytime.
All right,
brother.
Sir. Well, you guys have a great day, and I'll be thinking about you guys.
All right. Thank you. We'll keep
all right,
thank you
sir.
Very much, Frankie.
Yes, sir. All right. You guys have a great night. All right.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Always a good guy to talk to. I was trying to get the – trying to get a hold of both Eddie Chambers and the new Ray Robinson. Let's try the new one more time. We'll pull it off this one. Let's see. He really has a great feel for boxing and what is this doing here? Let me just see something here. See, hold on.
No problem.
No, it's not going through.
And not only is it good to talk to fighters, it's also good to talk to a guy who knows boxing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there are fighters who, I mean, they know, you know, maybe the art of boxing or maybe even fighting, but they, more or less, you know, I like talking to a guy who they know both,
mm-hmm.
or they know the intricacies of exactly what they're doing. I mean, it becomes a quality of toughness and heart, definitely,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to boxing. But, you know, a guy who knows the science of it, that's what's...
And the fact that he's passing it on to younger people and taking the time to, although I realize his job as an officer, he does do a lot of power work and he does a lot of good for the community, and the youth of the community down there. But he's also taking his time to go in the gym and pass these ideals, pass these techniques, and pass this love of sport that we all like onto a younger crowd, and that to me makes a man stand above everybody else. You know, tomorrow's Father's Day, and we wish all the fathers out there a really happy Father's Day. But just remember, like Z here, any man can be a dad, but it takes a real man to be a father, a real man to drive a number of hours to make sure that his son gets to a college, or to make sure that his daughter is picked up from down the other end of the county. This is what brings our group together. The fact that we're committed to not only to boxing, we're committed to family and to everything else. And it's really although we don't get a chance to be together in one place, we get a chance to get to be together every week on the radio, and it really is a high point of the week for me, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Me too.
Hey, you know, I wanted to ask Ty about Triple G and the mouth that's going on between he and Floyd Mayweather. What do you think of that? Have you seen that this week?
Well, no, I didn't catch up on that news, but I mean, that would really just be talk.
Sure.
I mean, that would really honestly be talk. Just because that fight wouldn't generate as much as Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't be worth Floyd doing.
No.
If it generated more money, then, you know, maybe I would consider thinking that they may do it.
Uh-huh.
I think Floyd would consider doing it just because of pure money purposes. But that fight wouldn't generate as much as that, and that's much, much more of a risk.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, evidently Floyd's been in the camp of the Broner and Porter camp this week, both visiting both gyms, and saying that, you know, he might even consider a fight with either the winner of that fight. What do you think on that one?
I don't think Floyd would necessarily fight Broner, just because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends. If Broner looked exceptionally good in this fight,
mm-hmm.
then, I mean, he would just then be coming up to somewhere near that sort of money status, as far as generating that much money in boxing. Amir Khan right now is probably the financial best bet for Floyd. Maybe not the best fight, but financially the best bet. Sean Porter wouldn't generate that much money at all. He's not generating more money than Adrian Broner. So that's fun. I don't really see Floyd doing that as far as even on a financial level.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Floyd's going to, I mean, he has to keep relevant right now. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. Sure. You know, if it were me, after the money he just made on the last fight, I'd just walk the hell away. I'd want to just sit back and enjoy life, but we know that he's not going to do that. We know that he's a constant. You know, the guy may not have an MBA, but he's got a PhD in street smarts, and he certainly knows how to work the game, and he knows how to make money. And for that, I give him a lot of credit. And you know, he is without a doubt, after taking on Bob's idol and putting him down. I know John Crane is listening, so Crane, this is the first and last time you'll hear this out of my mouth. He is a terrific fighter. So I'll be getting an email. I mean, I'll be getting a text in a few minutes with a ha 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 or something like that from, I'm sure, from John Crane. We've had a problem getting our next two guests, Eddie Chambers and Ray Robinson, but we will have them on next week. We'll reset that. We also have a good friend of ours, and we want to send out again a tremendous congratulations to Joey Tabiri. Joey graduated from college this year. And he, you know, he's a terrific guy and a class act, and we hope to see him back in action in the very near future.
Absolutely, because anyone who can go to college and box, that's
mm-hmm.
showing you that that's a physically and mentally fit person.
And, yeah, and then on top of that, he works 8 hours a day for Amtrak, so you know he's putting in.
It's
not worth just burning the old college oil with Joey. It's burning the clock 24/7. So we're glad he was going to. Today he was taking his little sister to the beach. I'm sure that's for himself, for the Googles and the Oogles, and to make sure she got down there and had a good time. But we're also going to try and get his dad, who is also his trainer. He likes to go to the 5 o'clock mass over there at St. Elizabeth's, and he doesn't get home in time sometimes to take the call. But we're going to try and set that up next week to get all three of them on the on all four of those guys on the air. But and it's we're getting, geez, that's the fastest hour I think I've seen this week. God, here we are at the end of our hour, and even though it was just the two of us here, we had a great time. I always have a great time being with you, and I appreciate it. Like I said, I appreciate your friendship and your support all these years.
I certainly do too.
Well, you want to lead us out?
I certainly do. Thank you very much, and this are highlights of my week also. But don't worry, I love boxing, and when I get to talking with you guys, I mean, this is, I hate when it ends, but it has to, I guess. So you know, I just want to say these shows are definitely, all shows are dedicated in the memory of Bob, and bless you and your family, Butch.
Thank you.
And I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers, to all the mothers who have to play father. Happy Father's Day to you too. Butch.
Okay, well, we want to say thank you to everyone for listening. It makes our week just knowing you're out there listening to us, and we have a great time. We're having a great time here doing this. It's not not something we get paid for. It's something we do out of love. But man, I just have so much energy when we get done talking about it with guys that we've talked to over the years, and how things have worked out. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation, men and women in the United States Armed Forces. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please just remember not everybody's a bad guy. Some of us have to run in there when trouble hits and other people are running away. So if you could just give them a wink, a handshake, just let them know that you know they're there. It means a lot to all the guys in uniform and all the girls. These programs are also done in memory and grateful appreciation of those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Unfortunately, we lost another officer down in New Orleans last night, taking a prisoner into the jail. The guy got loose and got his gun and was able to shoot the poor officer, and we send our deepest regrets out to his family and to the New Orleans Police Department. These programs are brought to you in grateful appreciation and thought of those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazwitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Keita Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol,
Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township, PA, Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department. MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office. Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department. Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department. Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department. Philadelphia Patrolman Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sunshine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night.
Shemalek ma'ilama, shemahezahilma, sona shenevoratfet, hakuigegen ma'ilma.
Thank you.
Bob. We miss you. Happy birthday.